Hello and welcome to this session of What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in beautiful Jasper, Georgia. We hold our services at 1191 East Church Street every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and every Saturday morning from 10:30 to 12:30. What we do is we take a book of the Bible and we go chapter by chapter and verse by verse to see what does the Bible say. So if you join me in Bible study this morning, if you just please open up your Bibles and let's look at it and see what does the Bible say. The beast has seven heads and ten horns. We got to go back to Daniel. That's right. Daniel chapter 7. John wants us to go back and know you've known this forever. It's been prophesied for thousands of years now. Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 to 8. It also lets us know that Daniel's words are words of prophecy. That's right. Daniel 7, verses 7 and 8. And then don't close Daniel, because we're going to go to another place in Daniel. Still in chapter 7. Daniel 7:7, not Daniel 49, reads, "After this I saw in the night visions." It's a vision. "And behold, a fourth beast." That fourth beast is Rome. "Dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Which means he sees the time of Rome from the time it takes power from the Grecians all the way up until the revived Roman Empire in the tribulation period. I was considering the horns. I mean, the horns come up at the point of the toes. That's not normally where you find horns on an animal, is on the toes, right? "And there was another horn, a little one." I mean, he's not a king at the time they first see him. "Coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots." That hurts. Yeah. That's war. The false Messiah will militarily overthrow three of the 10 kings. "And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man." So we're talking about a person, not a literal horn running around. "And a mouth speaking pompous words." That tells us, read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and know that that's the false Messiah or the Antichrist. But staying in Daniel chapter 7, let's go to verses 24 and 25, which describe in greater detail who this little horn is. "The 10 horns are 10 kings. In addition to kings, they're kingdoms, just like in the rest of the statue of Daniel 2, "who shall arise from this kingdom," that is from Rome, "and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones." It doesn't tell us how he's going to be different, just that he's different. "And he shall subdue 3 kings, that is militarily." That's how they're ripped up by the roots. "He shall speak pompous words against the Most High," again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. "Shall persecute the saints of the Most High," that's what we see in Revelation 12 already, "and shall intend or try to change the times," that is the festival seasons, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, etc., "and the law," the Torah. If the law has been abolished, Sabbath is abolished, feasts and festivals are abolished, what would there be for him to try to change? "Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time." That's how long? 3.5 years, which tells us when this happens, we're at the midpoint of the tribulation period. Back to Revelation chapter 13. There are 2 beasts in Revelation 13. This is the first. We call him the false Messiah, the Antichrist, or the beast of Revelation 13. The 3 terms are interchangeable. What do you know about him? Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and just read a little bit about him. Because it tells us where he gets his authority and his power and what motivates him. Why didn't John put all that in the book of Revelation? Because 2 Thessalonians had already been written and was well known. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. People are still turning. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah and our gathering together to him. What's our gathering together to him? That's the rapture and the resurrection. We ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by word or by spirit or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Messiah had come. In other words, they've been given a false letter from Paul saying, ha ha, the rapture came, you're left behind, ha ha. Which they should have realized immediately was a phony, because that would mean Paul was left behind. Right? He couldn't write the letter that says you're left behind if he wasn't here. So they should have immediately known this is phony, but they didn't. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless, meaning until, the snatching away, the falling away, the rapture and the resurrection comes first. And the man of sin is revealed. That's the little horn of Daniel chapter 7. That's the beast of Revelation 13. He's called here the man of sin. Why is he called the man of sin? In Daniel 7, it said he what? Tried to change the feasts and festivals in the Torah. And he's called the son of perdition, which means the son of Satan. Which takes us all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, which talks about the seed of the woman and the seed of Satan. He is the seed of Satan. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. That is, he's going to do what Antiochus Epiphanes did. When Antiochus Epiphanes put up a statue of Zeus Kyrios, the king of his gods, he put his own face on it to say, I'm godder than that. Same thing's going to happen with the abomination desolation. So that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he's God. That is, he wants the world to believe that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining. What's restraining? The believers. That he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. So even back in the days of Paul, the false teachers were trying to get the believers to turn away from the Torah and engage in the sins of the world. It says, only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. The he is also it, if you understand Hebrews, talking about the believers. And then the lawless one, the false Messiah, Antichrist, is called the lawless one. If Yeshua had abolished the law, Yeshua would be the lawless one. But this is referring to the little horn, the false Messiah, the Antichrist, the beast of Revelation 13, the man of sin, the son of perdition. If you start lining up all the names for the false Messiah, the first thing you start to realize is he's not a nice guy. Will be revealed. Then the lawless one will be revealed after the rapture and resurrection. Which tells you that it's not a post-trib rapture, doesn't it? Whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's Revelation 19. The coming of the lawless one, here's where it tells you where he gets his power and authority, is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Remember back at the time of the Exodus, that one of the first things that Moses and Aaron did by the word of God was to throw down the rod before Pharaoh became a snake. What did Jannes and Jambres then do? They threw down their sticks and they became snakes. By whose power? Satan. Satan is not a comic little character with red horns and a tail and a pitchfork who's a powerless little icon. He has great power. He was the archangel of archangels. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because, here's why they perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. They preferred to follow the sins of the world rather than follow the true and living God. And for this reason, because they do not want to follow God, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who, circle the who, did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What is the truth they keep referring to there? The Torah. They didn't want to follow the commandments, statutes, and judgments of God. They wanted the sins of the world, the sexual immorality, etc., etc. Okay, before I get carried away, if it's not too late already, go back to Revelation chapter 13. Verse 2. What we know from verse 1 is it's the man, the false Messiah, and it's his kingdom. Just like in Daniel 2, the head of gold was Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. The arms and chest of silver were Medo-Persia, but also Darius and Cyrus. It's the king and the kingdom. So verse 2. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. In Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, we know who the leopard is. But let me read through verse 2, then we'll go over to Daniel. Verse 2, now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. If we go back to Daniel chapter 7, it explains what this is about. Revelation does not quote from the Old Testament, but it refers to it many, many times. Daniel chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. In Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had that idolatrous image vision of the head of gold, chest and arms of silver, belly and thigh of brass, two legs of iron, 10 toes of iron mixed with clay. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel has the vision. It's just with different symbology. Daniel 7:1. In the first year of Belshazzar, Belshazzar is the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, then evil Merodach, then Belshazzar. Belshazzar is the one who threw the drunken orgy with the globlets from the temple of God, and God wrote on the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. That was him. Now, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Boy, when we see Daniel, the first thing I want to know is, what are all the details you didn't write down? Because it says just the main points here. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. What's the great sea? The Mediterranean stands for the Gentiles because the Gentile nations were all around the Mediterranean. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. Each of these beasts is going to represent a worldwide empire that arises from the Gentile world to enslave the whole world. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till his wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Talking about how Nebuchadnezzar got humbled before God, had to eat grass for 7 years, but then his reasoning was restored to him. And suddenly another beast, a second like a bear, this is Medo-Persia. It was raised up on one side because the Medes and the Persians were not equal in power. It was an unbalanced power. It had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. How many kings of Babylon? Nebuchadnezzar, evil Merodach, Belshazzar, then the kingdom falls. After this I looked, there was another like a leopard which had on his back 4 wings of a bird. This is the Grecian Empire. When Alexander the Great died, he didn't have an heir, so his kingdom was broken up into four parts under the command each of one of his generals. That's the four wings. The beast also had four heads, again, the four generals, and dominion was given to it. Verse 7, after this in the night visions, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible. This is Rome, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. There's the 10 kings of the revived Roman Empire. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one. That's the one we call the little horn, the false Messiah, the Antichrist, the beast of Revelation 13, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the lawless one, and so many other names. Coming up from among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked up out by the roots, and there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words. So if we go back to Revelation chapter 13, verse 2, now the beast was like a leopard. The leopard was Greece. His feet were like the feet of a bear. That's Medo-Persia. His mouth like the mouth of a lion. That's Babylon. So this is telling us that the Roman Empire from which the false Messiah comes after the other three. We've put them in reverse order. What came before, then before that, then before that. The dragon, that's Satan himself, gave him, the false Messiah, the beast of Revelation 13, his power, his throne, and great authority. Satan's called the God of this world. Satan, in Matthew chapter 4, offered all the nations of this world to Messiah. If he bowed down to him, he has great authority, and he gives it to the false Messiah to run roughshod over this world. Or roughshod might be a better way. Verse 3, and I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. I have heard countless preachings and seen a dozen movies where the false Messiah is walking up to a podium and he gets shot in the head. But miraculously he survives. Is that what happened? No. No. And I saw one of his heads. It's not talking about the literal head he walks with. The 10 horns had 10 crowns that sat on 10 heads. So one of the nations under his authority and power has somehow been injured to the point that everybody thought it was destroyed, but it comes back again.
Syria.
What's that?
Do you think that's Syria?
Do I think that's Syria? I think we'll have to wait and see. I don't think so, but we'll see. To me, it's talking about Rome. And I'll explain that shortly. But I was trying to hold that back. But okay. That's all right. Put down in your notes, Egypt. They were the first Gentile world power. Followed by Assyria. Followed by Babylon. Too fast. Okay. Egypt. Followed by Assyria. Followed by Babylon. Followed by Medo-Persia. Followed by Greece, followed by Rome, and then the revived Roman Empire, which is the beast and his kingdom. So yeah, to the world, we think the Roman Empire has been abolished, gone, but it hasn't. It has continued under the Roman Catholic Church. Roman Catholic Church has sway over most of the world, even to this day. Do you remember why it was that Henry VIII declared England free of the Roman Catholic Church and set up the Church of Rome? Church of England, I'm sorry. He wanted to divorce one of his wives, and the Pope said no. He had to get permission, authority from the Pope in order to be able to divorce his wife. When the Pope said no, he simply said, okay, You're not Pope anymore. I am. He said, if you can just declare yourself to be Pope, so can I. He was a strange man.
Okay. Well, he got that part right, though.
Okay.
Anybody can declare themselves Pope, I guess, right?
Yeah. So verse 3, and I saw one of the heads as if it had been mortally wounded, as if it had been mortally wounded. Mortally means to the death. And his deadly wound was healed. So this nation of world power that everybody thought was gone, we find out really isn't gone. And it has been reconstituted in these last 10 nations that we call the revived Roman Empire. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. Just for grins, let's go back to Daniel 7. By now you've probably left a pencil back there. It just turns automatically. Mine just falls open to Isaiah. It just does. Daniel chapter 7. Verses 25 to 27. He, the little horn, shall speak pompous words against the Most High. Well, he declares himself to be God and above God. Shall persecute the saints of the Most High. We saw that. Shall intend to change times in the law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. But the court shall be seated. And they shall take away his dominion to consume it and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion, the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. So the end of the false Messiah and his kingdom has been assured for thousands of years now.
Wayne?
Yes, ma'am.
But the court shall be seated.
Court, we're talking about in heaven. Let's go back to Daniel 7 for a moment. So let me explain a little better. We'll start in verse 9. We read verses 7 to 8 about the little horn. But now it's going to talk about the court being seated. Verse 9. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. That's Messiah. It's Judgment Day. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. Who seated with him? The 24 elders, remember from Revelation 4. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire, a fiery stream issuing came from forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. I watched then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. I watched till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. That's as a result of the court having been seated and the Lord saying, that's it, it's over. I heard somebody in GoToMeeting, maybe. Apparently not. So back to Revelation chapter 13. Verse 4. So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. That's the false Messiah's ultimate aim, is to get everybody in the world to worship the devil instead of God. That's all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. When Adam and Eve obeyed Satan rather than God, what was the significance? Keep your finger here and go to the book of Romans, chapter 6. Romans, chapter 6, verse 16. We may as well include verse 15, since it causes so many people such concern and controversy. And before 15, since I see people scribbling in their notes, include verses 1 and 2. Romans 6, 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Answer, certainly not. King James says, God forbid. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Which brings us to verse 15. What then? Shall we sin? What does sin mean? 1 John 3, 4. Sin is lawlessness. Shall we sin because we're not under law but under grace? The traditional church says, see, the law doesn't apply, but that's not what this verse says. The word under is the Greek word hupo, and it means of or through. And it means we're not saved through the works of the law, we're saved by grace. So Paul asks, shall we continue in sin, the breaking of the commandments of God, because we're saved by grace and not through the keeping of commandments? So the question really boils down to, if keeping commandments won't save us, and it won't, then why should we? And verse 16 is the answer. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves or servant, it's the same Hebrew word to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey. So in the Garden of Eden, when they obeyed Satan instead of God, whose servant did they become? The servant of Satan. And they did it by choice, because they thought it's more pleasurable to walk in sin than in obedience. So they made a conscious choice. We'll follow Satan and not God. Come back to Revelation chapter 13. We're in the very same circumstance. The people in the tribulation period who are not saved, do not decide to put their faith in God through Messiah, will instead say, we prefer the beast. We want to worship Satan because look what he lets us do. I get to snort coke. I get to play with prostitutes. I get to cheat on my income taxes. Yeah. Verse 4, so they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? I say, let's go back to Matthew chapter 4. My answer is not the answer they expect. Matthew 4, verse 8. Again, the devil took him, that's Messiah Yeshua, up on an exceedingly high mountain. Which mountain? Who cares? It was exceedingly high. And showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Yeshua said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So what's the answer to the question, who can beat the beast? Well, that's about all the time we have for today, folks. If you've enjoyed this Bible study and you want more information on what we teach, please go to our website at www.john1415.org, where you'll find all of our Bible studies for the past 3 or 4 years in MP3 format, organized by book. And we've covered just about every book of the Bible. So you can listen online, or you can right-click on the link and download the file to your iPhone, iPad, or however you like to listen to your teachings. May God bless you. We'll see you next week.